Hi, I'm Greg Schaefer, and welcome to the virtual CISO moment. Perry Osbrooks joins us. He is a veteran success specialist and IT systems analyst. Perry, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
One of the things that I'm always surprised about is like I talk to people all different locations, talk to people in Europe, in Australia, and you are actually just right down the road from me in Columbia, Tennessee. Is that correct?
That is. I actually grew up in Franklin as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. If I look out to my left here, I'm looking north towards Nashville right now. So, well, I appreciate you coming on. Really very much interested in your path and also how you're helping veterans. But I'd like to hear how you got involved in IT and how it led you to the mission that you've taken on today.
Absolutely. I was actually struggling really bad. And you know, someone pulled me out of the depths and my life back on track. Thank the Lord for that. And I happened to find out about a program through the VA called VetTech. And I always had a interest in cybersecurity. And then when I started to learn about it, I was like, oh man, that's actually really interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, being on the front lines on the internet world instead of the front lines in the military. And thankfully, the VetTech program for your cybersecurity training, and I was able to get a few of the basic entry-level certifications. And now I was selected by the program that I actually went through the training as someone to, they actually hired me to not only teach the cybersecurity material, I just grabbed it really quickly. And so now I actually review classes for Security Plus Certified Ethical Hacker while still pursuing my own training in my spare time, while also helping other veterans go through the program and find employment after they get their certifications through us.
So you are in the Army, correct?
Yes.
What was your position in the Army and when did you serve in the Army? And thank you for your service, by the way.
Oh, thank you for your service. So I was a forward observer. Absolutely nothing to do with IT, but I loved it. It was great. I served in 2006 to 2010. In those short 4 years, I did two deployments to Iraq. And I would say I loved the Army. I was really good at it. It was probably one of the few things I've ever done in my life that I was great at. I joined as an E1, and within 3.5 years, I was promoted to sergeant. Thankfully, I had some amazing leaders that really taught me great leadership and how to do my job really well. But I was just physically tired and mentally exhausted after two back-to-back deployments to Iraq, and I just couldn't physically do it anymore and decided it was time to come home.
Now, I can definitely relate with that. I was actually an Air Force reservist, but was called up for what was called Desert Shield at the time. That morphed into Desert Storm, which people, I think, more commonly know as the first Gulf War now. And then went back to being the weekend warrior deal, finished up my undergraduate degree at the University of Buffalo. And then this whole Somalia thing started. This was like in the early 90s. And at that point in time, I had kind of the same attitude that I think you were talking about. It's just like, I got burned out from the Desert Storm thing. It's just like, I don't want to be deployed again. My career was just starting to get off the ground. So, but I do think you may or may dis may or may not agree, I should say, but I do think that everyone could benefit if they served at least a little bit like in the military or some sort of public service like that. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
100% agree. The person I was before I joined as an arrogant little kid who thought I knew thing, though, if someone just was able to go through basic training in AIT, in any branch and have some sort of actual responsibility that's bigger than them and learn that leadership at a young age. And it really teaches you about life before you transition to that college level. I think our next generation would benefit greatly if they could just do that and then, you know, go to college while they're, you know, serving every one week in a month.
Absolutely. And that's why I brought it up, because I know for me, I experienced a very similar change as well. And while there was some personal sacrifice and some burnout involved, I wouldn't change it for one iota. Would do the exact same thing again. So
100% agree.
So when we come back in 30 seconds, I'm going to ask you about what you think might be one of the most significant threats to small and mid-sized businesses in the cybersecurity realm. And I will give you, as I said, 30 seconds to think about that. vCISO Services is a small, specialized, veteran-owned information security firm with a calling, founded on Christian values and focused on the needs of small and mid-sized businesses. Our passion is to help small and mid-sized businesses gain a fighting chance in an increasingly hostile cybersecurity threat environment by providing executive, part-time, virtual CISO services, information security risk management services, and CISO advisory services. Check them out at vcisoservices.com. All right, Perry. So what do you think? What's in your opinion, based on your experience, what's one of the major threats to small and mid-sized businesses today?
I honestly think small and mid-sized businesses, I think it's just a lack of knowledge by ownership, because, you know, one of my desires is to become a penetration tester. And as I'm preparing for pen test certifications, I talked to several small businesses. And as you know, down here in Columbia, that's very small businesses. Yeah. And it honestly blows my mind how maybe one of them actually has a virtual like security broker. Mm-hmm. And how many have completely exposed data. They have just access to their Wi-Fi so I think it's a lack of knowledge that small business owners don't understand how easy it is for people to get a hold of their data these days, with GPT, script kiddies are just able to walk into a local coffee shop with exposed Wi-Fi and boom, now they've grabbed a hold of all their their digital transactions. And it can really hurt a small business, especially lawyers, offices here in town, how vulnerable they are and exposed they are to cyber attacks.
So, you know, businesses, particularly small businesses, they take on a lot of risk. And just in order to start a small business, I know as a small business owner myself, that there's a lot of risk involved with that. Do you have any thoughts on how we can better educate small business owners on the fact they are taking on risk? Because I take it from what you're saying, it's they know so little that they don't even understand that this is a risky environment.
I think one of the things is, I think a lot of the major cybersecurity companies these days are so focused on these major enterprise contracts, and the small businesses just get left to the side. You do see commercials. I forgot what I was watching just recently, but I saw a CrowdStrike commercial, but never did they say how they could protect small businesses. It was about they can protect massive corporations. The cybersecurity companies are out there, and I just think that they don't see value in helping small businesses. It's all focused on major corporations.
Well, and on the flip side, I remember, because now I'm going to get on my soapbox a little bit. I haven't heard this commercial in a while, but I remember hearing on the radio not too long ago. It's this two actors that are supposed to be co-workers, a male and a female, and they're going back. Like, the male is just like, oh, I'm so worried about cybersecurity for a small business. And the lady's like, you don't have to be worried anymore, because this device from security vendor, whom I won't mention, I'm very close to it, but I'm not going to, we put in their box and we're completely secure. We don't have to worry about everything. And the guy's like, oh, well, that's great. That makes my life so much happier. And then, you know, they sing Kumbaya and all that. And it's like the worst thing that you can tell them, that you can just put in a box, a firewall is what they were selling, and that a firewall is just going to protect you from everything. So I would tend to agree with you that that is a huge issue. And I struggle with that, trying to convince folks that that's one of the reasons we do the podcast, is to try to talk about those threats that are out there for small and mid-sized businesses. So, but I want to pivot now and talk a little bit about what you're doing as a veteran success specialist. So I'm looking at your LinkedIn, like, for example, help veterans find meaningful employment after completing cybersecurity training. Could you expand upon how that process works and how that's helping veterans transition into the civilian cybersecurity workforce?
Absolutely. I think I mentioned earlier, someone pulled me out of debts, and I've made it a mission of mine to pay that forward and help as many veterans as I can.
Thank you.
And one of the things I do is I work side by side with veterans as they go through our training program. They're either doing, you know, Security Plus, CEH, and Splunk, or CYSA, and we have cloud programs. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to get individuals who are more than deserving to get in entry-level cybersecurity roles, which are the veterans, prepare them with the entry-level certifications to make them more marketable for that entry-level role. I think that programs, people tend to call us a style of boot camp. We've kind of had a bad rep because there have been bad boot camps in the past. However, ours goes so above and beyond providing. I provide resume tailoring. I will walk them through one-on-one meetings on actually tailoring their resume to a job description, preparing them for interviews, and walking them through the entire hiring process.
Well, I mean, the military, we came up with the term boot camp. There's a reason for that. It's like, if anybody's right, going to do it right and prepare folks for whatever the boot camp is, it would be folks that have military experience and not these diploma mills, if you will.
Right, exactly. And that's what we really strive to do, is to really highlight to employers the vast amount of soft skills veterans possess that is impossible to find in one civilian entry-level candidate. I mean, when you look and talk to a veteran, they are experienced in leadership at a very young age, and they're close to mastering it if they've been in the military for, you know, 6 to 8 years. Mm-hmm. They have amazing communication skills. They've been working in diverse work environments with multitudes of cultures, excel in it. And show me one civilian candidate straight out of college that has the discipline that a veteran has.
No, a lot, you know, a lot of times the folks coming out of college, it's like they're more me-centered and they want to prove their self-worth and they're going to try to like excel above others. Whereas folks from the military, they've learned how to work together. They've learned that it takes a team in order to accomplish a mission.
Absolutely. And they're so loyal. In this industry, I'm sure you see it, the people who jump from job to job chasing money, because they get that little bit of experience thrown on the resume and they're throwing the resume out there to make more money. And the thing with veterans, especially ones that were graduating, that are just asking for that, take that chance on me. I know I don't have IT experience, but look at the certifications I was able to obtain in just 3 months. And that shows my dedication to the field. And if you give me that chance, I will pay you back, because it's just how veterans operate. We will, if you give us a chance, we're going to pay it back tenfold. And we're not going to be one of those people jumping ship just at the next pay raise.
And that's not to say that we don't want to earn money and earn a salary commensurate with what we're doing, but that's not our driving force. I find, to your point, that veterans, more so than the rest of the community, they really have this desire to want to give back, to want to make a difference.
Absolutely. And there's been so many veterans that I've been actually highlighting recently on my LinkedIn profile, they're already giving back to the community and they have zero experience. They're creating Medium profiles, doing write-ups, and those are just small ways. They are promoting themselves, but at the same time, I feel everyone who takes time to contribute on Medium or GitHub or somewhere like that, you're contributing to the community. You're you're providing your knowledge to the world to further the cybersecurity industry. And they don't even, the ones that I've highlighted are still looking for their first entry-level role. And it blows my mind. I try so hard to reach out to these companies and I'm like, look at this amazing candidate and how much they're doing already. You know, so that's what we're really trying to focus on, is find those companies that are willing to take a chance on well-deserving veterans to get them that entry-level job.
I wonder how we can, we being the greater cybersecurity community, InfoSec community, can make that case, because I feel that you are hitting brick walls sometimes where people, in particularly if you have folks like in HR or the hiring managers, the folks that they're going to work for, that who haven't had military experience, that they're just almost discounting. And coupled on top of that, one of the issues that transitioning members have had that I think that we've done, not just in cyber, but all around, a better idea of addressing is translating the experience from military to civilian, because a lot of like all the acronyms and this and that, it doesn't, you have to speak not military language, you have to speak civilian language. But what I'm wondering is how can we maybe get into the heads of hiring managers that you just got to open up your eyes more and look at just these people were willing to put their life on the line for the country. Just think about what they would do for your company.
Honestly, I think the easiest way is to get rid of the prior experience prejudice. I can't tell you how many entry-level jobs that I have veterans apply to that ask for just an active seeker clearance and a security plus certification, but they ask for 1 to 2 years of entry-level help desk experience. A veteran that has a seeker clearance and security plus, even though they have no IT experience, they have life experience. They have real world work experience that should count towards something. And just negate it. They say, even just because you don't have at least a help desk title, I don't care your military background, I want IT experience. And that's honestly the biggest hurdle that I see, is they just will not get over that.
Historically, I've been asked this over the years many times, and I've always come back with the same answer. Greg, what do you look for most in a favored candidate, or what would the favored candidate have? What kind of qualities and this and that? And without a doubt, my first answer is trainability. Mm-hmm. And I take that really from how I first started in IT. So I was in college and I was in the reserves, as I mentioned, and the person that I interviewed for a part-time network technician job, he was had served as a drill instructor at Parris Island for the Marines. And so we talked a little bit and he said, you're hired. And I'm like, really? It's like, I mean, I had no experience outside of a little bit of Fortran programming for those folks that are old enough to remember what Fortran was. But he said, if you can read a TO, a technical order for folks that don't understand that, if you can read a TO to fix an airplane, I think that you can handle this IT thing. So somehow or another, folks got to understand that to your point, it's like they may not have direct IT experience, but their experience is huge and trumps all of that.
Absolutely. And not only that, but the majority of our veterans come in with zero experience. And for those that have taken the Security Plus exam that have experience in the IT field, imagine only having 4 weekends of training to study for the Security Plus certification.
Well, that's the trainability part right there, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Make sure that we try to highlight that as heavily as possible in their resume. But again, I think to your question, what can we do? Hiring managers and recruiters just have to start giving veterans a little bit more respect in the we might not have the previous experience, but again, I fall back on show me a civilian candidate. Not every veteran's the same, but I would say 90% of all veterans are going to have a combination of soft skills and hard skills that you'll never find in one civilian candidate. And that's not to discount civilians. I think that there are plenty of great ones out there, but veterans are just a very unique community.
Yeah. And I always kind of chuckle when, like, I'd be interviewing someone, whether it be for an employee position or a consultant position here within our firm. And, you know, you get through the discussion and just start realizing this person is definitely going to be a good fit. I think that they're going to work. And then, you know, I'll ask the question and I smile because I'm never surprised. It's like, so are you a veteran? And more often than not, it's like, yes, they were. And I didn't know before that they were. But it's like, oh, well, it shows. It showed in your answers. It showed in your attitude. It showed in your punctuality. It's just how you present yourself as well, too. So, well, everything in cyber can be stressful. And certainly, trying to find that first job can be stressful, and helping folks try to find that first job can be stressful. We have a huge problem in the cyber industry with mental health. I've had my own struggles about it. I've talked a little bit about here on the podcast, maybe not totally, but and I found as a solution is that you have to find positive habits, positive ways to step away from the stress, not negative ones. So I'm curious as to, like, what's one or two things that you do to get away from the stresses of everything cyber?
Oh, well, first of all, counseling. I'm very active. I have spiritual counseling that I do, and I also have just mental health counseling as well every single month. And then also during the summertime, I go to the lake house.
Yeah, nature is wonderful to get away.
The water is an amazing healer, and so is the sun. So I just said, we spend so much time cooped up indoors to spend, you know, 10 hours a Saturday and Sunday outside soaking in that vitamin D and just not being in front of a screen. And just put your phone away. I always put the only thing my phone's connected to on a weekend is the Bluetooth on the radio on the boat. And just listening to Jimmy Buffett. I don't answer emails and phone calls or texts unless it's an emergency. You know, just you got to find, like you said, you really have to decompress. And, you know, something that is spoken a lot in the Bible is you don't rest because of the work you've done. You rest for the work you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I try to do every weekend, is that is my time to really prepare myself for that next week.
That's wonderfully awesome advice. And actually, in all transparency, when I get done with this recording, part of the reason why I've been drinking Celsius is because I'm going to go out and do a brisk walk. So this is now fueling me for my walk to go outside and decompress a little bit. Not to say that this has been stressful at all. It hasn't been. This is actually one of the more fun things that I like to do during the day. It used to be, when I first started this over 100 interviews ago, that I would get really stressed out prior to it, but I've come to just learn to enjoy the conversation. So you had mentioned that one of your plans is to enter deep into the penetration testing field. Is that really your primary future plans, or what other future plans do you have?
That and also teaching. I'm really enjoying teaching these review classes, teaching veterans with the company that I work for right now. They put a lot of faith and trust in me that I know my Security Plus and ethical hacking knowledge to teach, and I've fallen in love with it. I love seeing the veterans that I help pass their certifications and that joy on their face. And so penetration testing, I would love to have is something I do in my free time, because I don't see it as work. Whenever I'm studying for the GPen or anything, or the practical penetration cert, I don't even see it as studying and hard work. It's just I'm so involved and love it that it's just so much fun. And I'd love to be the guy here in my small little town that can help secure these small businesses by showing them how vulnerable they are and the simple ways I can help put them in touch with the right companies to get them the proper cybersecurity they need.
That's great. Well, you have learned a lesson in life that I think that a lot of people never learn, and that is that true success doesn't come from money. True success comes from serving. I truly believe that. I like to say that if you have a heart of a servant, you'll always be successful. So, Perry, thank you so much for joining us today. I have thoroughly enjoyed the conversation and the time that I knew that when I first ran across your profile, I'm like, I definitely want to get you on and talk. I believe that was like 6 months ago. So I appreciate your patience and taking the time to talk.
Hey, thank you. And congratulations on your 100 plus episodes.
Okay. Thank you. And everybody, stay secure.